Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray that this podcast will help you on that journey.
But let's talk about some kingdom stuff. Is that all right? We've been doing that for the last couple of weeks, and the plan is to keep talking about kingdom, the kingdom of heaven that Jesus talked about so much. And, since he talked about it so much, we thought, let's just focus on this for a few weeks and see what the Lord would do in our hearts, see what the Holy Spirit would reveal and stir up on the inside of us. And so let me just start off here with our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Lord, show us the kingdom, bring the kingdom, stir it up in our hearts, make it real to us, bring the kingdom alive, let us see what you see, help us to experience what you want us to experience, Lord, and to elevate you, Jesus, in the highest place. If we would elevate you, you draw all men to yourself. So we do that today in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, great to be with you guys this morning. I want to share a little bit of a summary from some of what I've shared the previous 2 weeks and then dive into a little bit more talking about this wonderful kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, kingdom of light, all the same thing that Jesus mentioned a lot, talked about a lot, and then he brought it and he gave it to us. So 700 years before Jesus came to the earth in human form, Isaiah prophesies that a virgin will give birth to Emmanuel, meaning God with us. How about that? There is something brand new that no one had ever thought of, no one had ever imagined. Isaiah prophesies that God will come as a baby. Isaiah 6, verse 6 says, a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. No end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom. And over his kingdom to establish it, to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forever. So 600 years before Jesus comes, his birth is prophesied. And it's also prophesied that he's bringing something with him, a kingdom. And when he comes, that kingdom will be upheld by him forever. It will increase and grow and grow and grow. After Isaiah prophesies this, 100 years later, Daniel prophesies after really an angel came and shared with him. But it says, the saints of the highest ones, Daniel 7:18, but the saints of the highest one will receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever for all ages to come. Now the saints here speak of you and I, the believers, the followers of Jesus. We will receive the kingdom forever. We receive it. Jesus brings it, we receive it. So those were 600 years before Jesus came, 500 years before Jesus came, and then of course, when Jesus came, he did those very things. With a backdrop of the Roman Empire that was in place, spreading throughout the region, dominating with fear, enslaving, stealing, taking. In that environment, the Father thought, this is the perfect time. This is the perfect time to insert my kingdom, to insert the opposite of what the world does, of what the world brings, what the world spreads, this domination of this Roman Empire. I'm going to send my son with a kingdom, his kingdom, that will grow, but it's going to be a whole lot different. The Roman Empire was driven by desire for food, money, slaves, and of course, the kingdom that Jesus brought is the exact opposite. Jesus is multiplying food. He's giving food away. He's bringing peace. He's setting slaves free. Entirely different kingdom completely counter to what the world had created, what the enemy had inspired. Jesus came as the perfect representation of the Father. And as the king of this kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, Jesus announced, as you remember when he opened the book of Isaiah and read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." That's found in Luke. And then Jesus said in Luke 12, "But seek his kingdom," the Lord's kingdom, his own kingdom that he brought, "and these things," the food, the clothing, the needs that we have, "will be given to you," will be added to you. "But don't seek those things like the Roman Empire is. In my kingdom, seek this kingdom of mine, and I will give you all the things that other people are trying to obtain, that they're trying to get, that they're stealing." And then it says at the end of that verse, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom." Yeah, this isn't about taking. The Father has chosen gladly to give the kingdom to me, Jesus is saying. I'm here, and he wants to give it away through me, is what he's saying. He's chosen gladly to give you this kingdom, this domain, this realm, where there are things in it that we can't even imagine, that are beautiful and wonderful and powerful. Yes, it's righteousness, peace, and joy, but it is many, many other things as well. Romans 14, 17 says that. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, but it's also healing the blind, setting all the oppressed free. It's great news. Nothing compares with or can replace the kingdom of heaven. And if we would set our hearts to seek it, we'll not only find it, but we will find every need met that we have. That's the promise of Jesus. Those are the words of the King. Every desire satisfied. And the name of Jesus in this kingdom will be shared through us when we do that. The kingdom of heaven is the reign of God, full of healing, wholeness, morality, joy, peace, power, love, life, and wonder, that Jesus brought and left behind for us to enjoy and to spread. It's intended to invade every heart, every home, every life, every nation, every sphere of life, every business, every part of education, government, every relationship. And it will be fully mature or brought or expanded when Jesus returns. It's an internal kingdom that will one day absorb and have dominion over every external thing. The kingdom of heaven is within you, says in Luke 17, 21. The kingdom of heaven is within you, but it won't just stay there. It spreads. It fills the atmosphere. It will take over all other kingdoms. Every other kingdom on the planet will be absorbed into the kingdom of God. God will take over. I don't understand how that's going to work, but Jesus said it. He's been working on it for a long time, and it will happen. We get to be a part of it. It has this great mystery attached to it. And of course, the kingdom of heaven is this wording that Jesus uses, that God, the Father, started to use through his prophets in the Old Testament, and then Jesus shares this terminology over and over and over again, trying to share with his disciples this brand new language, wanting them to get a hold of it, wanting those that he sent out to get a hold of it, wanting us to get a hold of it. We still haven't gotten a hold of it all the way. It's almost a foreign concept in some ways, but it is supposed to be part of like the air we breathe. It's kingdom of heaven that I'm in, that I'm spreading, that I'm talking about, that I'm living within. And this kingdom has a gospel called the gospel of the kingdom, this good news that I'm to share, to spread, not separate from the kingdom, a part of it. It's unshakable. Hebrews 12, 28 says, "Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, For our God is a consuming fire. Since we receive this kingdom, which cannot be shaken, not only does this kingdom grow forever, it's here forever, but it's unshakable. There's no other kingdom on this planet that's unshakable. Only the kingdom of heaven. It cannot be shaken. Everything else can get real shaky. Everything else can get disturbed, can get tipped over, can get upended. Not the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is here forever, and it grows, and it's solid. It's unshakable. It's a foundation, and it's beautiful. I remember signing up when I was in my early 20s. I lived on an island in the Indian Ocean, and I decided to sign up to become a scuba diver. So I took these classes. They were pretty amazing, actually. And the instructors were really firm, and they were good because they wanted you to be able to survive. And so we did lots of testing where they turn your air off while you're underwater, swim up behind you and turn your tanks off to see what you do, things like that. They want to make sure that you're really good at this. And so I learned how to scuba dive. We learned in a pool first, and then we went out in the ocean. And I remember my test to pass to get my certificate was to swim down 60 feet to the bottom, and then you had to take everything off. All your scuba gear, your BCD, your tank, your goggles, lay everything on the ocean floor, put it all back on down there, and, you know, clear, and then, you know, swim around all these things, all these tests over and over. And then, man, I got to start going to places where I've never seen anything like this. I went to the Maldives, and the visibility in the water was about 120 to 150 feet. That's the width of this room. The visibility. As soon as you put your face in the water at the top, you see the bottom, and there's wrecks and coral reefs and mountains, and then you get down in there, and you're surrounded by, I don't know if any of you have scuba dived, but surrounded by thousands of fish of varieties I didn't know existed. The colors are so vibrant, and they would move in formation. You see lionfish and triggerfish and parrotfish and sharks and eels and turtles, and it just goes on and on. You are in another world that is spectacular. And I'm thinking, it has not been that long that mankind has been able to see what God has created a long time ago. And we get to be in this, immersed in this world where I'm looking at things that are blowing my mind. In fact, I got so immersed in it, especially as I followed these five sharks that were swimming in front of me, tail to nose, that I sucked all my air out of my tank because I was just overwhelmed with this, which wasn't good. But fortunately, I had a buddy. You get trained to have a buddy with you. So I buddy breathed off of his, what's called an octopus. His regulator, his spare, and we emergency went to the top because I was out of air. But the reason I sucked my air was I was like, wow, look at that. I was just in awe, and I was breathing deeply. I wasn't supposed to be doing that. But in that world, I can't really describe it. You have to see it for yourself. I can't really put words to it, but it is unending wonder, unending beauty, and design, and fish look up to you. I mean, come close to you, almost like they have a personality as they're looking at you. You know, trying to figure you out as well. You enter another world. It's another world. And temporarily, I entered it with my gear. The kingdom is a little bit like that. It is another world than what we're used to. But it is replete with all kind of wonders and power and beauty and peace and joy and healing in the presence of God. It is full of wonder, and we are to live in it. We are to find our home in this kingdom and see the things that God sees, that he wants us to experience, that he wants us to discover, that he wants us to give away and to show other people, bring other people into this kingdom, and to share it with others, to talk about it, share this gospel of the kingdom, the good news of It's amazing. There are people in this kingdom who love you. There's a God who is real, who loved you, planned your existence, and every day of your life he wrote in a book before you ever lived one of them. There's freedom from every kind of bondage, every chain, every addiction. There's freedom for that in this kingdom. It's like an underwater world. The spectacular kingdom of heaven. And it's all around us. If you're a carrier, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're a carrier of the kingdom. Even though we can't see it, not like going underwater and looking at fish, it's not necessarily visible to the human eye, but it is perceptible and it is sensed by your spirit man. Your spirit man comes alive around the kingdom. I've had numerous people, more than I can count, that have come here on a Sunday, visitors, and they will tell me, one of them not that long ago, and they just started weeping. Just started weeping, never been here at Awake before. Other people have said, I walked in the lobby and something hit me. I just felt the presence of God. Or they can't describe it. There's something about this place that the way that I'm loved, the way that people are so kind, that it does something inside of me. Many of you have experienced those things, or you're in worship. And there's something that is like another world you are taken into, like the spirit world. That's the kingdom. Those are elements of the kingdom that is so beautiful and wonderful. You can tell a difference when you walk into a place where there is friction, where there's strife, where there's anger, where there's all kind of perversion. You can sense that, though you might not see it. And similarly, when you're a place like this, there's the sense of the kingdom, the sense of the presence of God. That's how it's supposed to be. How about, if you wouldn't mind, let's do something real quick. Can we all stand up for 1 second? And I want to ask you on three to do something, if you're able. You don't have to. But if you're able, I'd like you to create space between the bottom of your feet and the earth. It's called jumping. Really? So do one jump on three. Ready? As high as you want. Some people, if you can get a half inch, that's great. Some people can get like 3 feet. All right? Just one jump on three. Ready? 1, 2, 3. That's great. I'm not going to ask you to do any more than that. You can sit down. Great. Awesome. You just experienced something that we all experience. Gravity, exactly. It's invisible. It's invisible. You don't think about it. I don't think about it a whole lot. But it is working all the time. Unless you're on the moon or somewhere else, but still working there, just not as strong. And it's interesting. Over the years, I've watched and listened to and read astrophysicist after astrophysicist try to explain gravity, and they just have difficulty. They usually just say, we don't understand it. We know it has to do something with the curvature of space and time. It has something to do with mass and energy, but we don't get it. We don't fully understand it all. We can't really explain it, but it happens. It's there. It's invisible, but it is real. It pulls every time. You jump, and you don't just keep going. You come right back down. Gravity works. Colossians 1:17 says, in him, in God, all things hold together. In God, all things hold together. In other words, what scientists and astrophysicists cannot describe is God. God is the one holding everything together. Gravity is a part of the essence of what God does. He is keeping things together. He's keeping you on the earth. He's keeping us from jumping out of the room. Part of that is God. Now, you don't necessarily feel it, but boy, do you experience it. The kingdom of heaven has elements like that of things that are just there every day that you may not even think about or be consciously aware of, but the kingdom of heaven is right here. I'm carrying it all the time. The kingdom of heaven is within you. And it is righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy. And it's a whole lot of other things. But that presence of God is here. It's with us. The kingdom includes everything that Jesus did, and even greater things, according to John 14, 12. It's good news, it's healing, freedom, and liberty, and righteousness, but power and peace and joy, satisfaction, everything that the soul, mind, spirit longs for, the kingdom has. There is no lack in the kingdom. The kingdom has everything that we need. Jesus brought the kingdom, is the president, capital, heart of the kingdom. It's him. He's the king of the kingdom. I remember years ago when digital cameras started having bigger screens on them where you could see it, and going to Africa, which I do fairly regularly, and taking my digital camera and taking pictures of these kids, these African wonderful children, and then I would show it to them where they see themselves on the screen. And I mean, they make all kind of noise. They shriek, they laugh, they jump, they crowd in. I mean, just start banging heads to see this screen. And I'm trying to show everybody, and the giggling and the laughter and all this to see themselves, which they've never seen before necessarily in some of the villages that we're in. They've never seen a digital picture of themselves. So what, in a sense, I'm bringing them, though I don't understand how it works either, but what I can do is I can use it. Though I don't fully understand it, you can use something. Did you know that? When you turn the switch on and turn the lights on, you don't understand how electricity works exactly. I don't either, but we use it. You turn that microwave on, you use it. It works. It's great. And when I brought that camera and I'm showing them something I don't even fully understand, but I'm bringing technology into their world that's different than they've ever experienced. You know, Jesus did that very same thing. When he came from heaven, he's the creator of the universe. He knows some stuff we don't know. He's really smart. And he's the one who said that seek after this kingdom that I have brought. It will do things for you that you've been desiring another way. You've been trying to get it one way. I'm showing you how to get it. It's through seeking the kingdom instead of those other things. And Jesus has all this figured out. He has a way. He has technology that we don't have. He has ways of doing things that we don't understand, that don't make sense to us. But if we will do them his way, his technology starts working for us. That's probably a bad word, technology. I'm just trying to make it understandable a little bit. That his ways aren't our ways. They're above our ways. But he invites us into his ways and will show his ways and do his ways through us as we seek his ways. This kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, seek it, pursue it, go after it. If you could turn to someone next to you, and if you know their name, call them saint and then their name. Go ahead. You may have never been called that before, because it's weird, but over a couple thousand years, mostly through the Catholic Church, they gathered some old guys together to decide who is one, right? And they vote and decide, and there are 10,000 they've chosen over the years, over history, 10,000 saints. But that's not really the biblical way that a saint is determined. You know how a saint is determined? A saint is determined by someone who believes in Jesus, follows him, gives their life to him, receives his spirit, and receives the kingdom, and you're a saint. Which means everyone in this room, that's why you are a saint, whatever your name is. You are a saint. That's biblical. That's biblical theology there, that we are saints of the Most High. We are followers. It's not that you get at some point in your life where you're venerated to this position. You have that position the day you met Jesus, and you might have been 8 years old. And you suddenly get into, you become part of the sainthood. That's a beautiful thing. That's a wonderful thing. We're saints not by our efforts. We're saints not because of our own goals that we've achieved, anything we've gone after. We're saints because of Jesus and what he's done and his perfection and his sacrifice. And he gives us and allows us to be called, anyone who believes, John 1 says this, to those who believe, they earn the right to receive their childhood, basically. They become a child of God by believing. We become a saint by believing, by receiving the righteousness of Jesus. His blood covers me. I'm no longer guilty. I now am an heir, a joint heir with Jesus. You are a saint. Incredible. And so you are a saint that's also carrying the kingdom. See, we have more than we realize, more than we feel, more than we see, we have. You're a carrier of the kingdom. You're a saint of the living God. You're a child of the King. For us to see ourselves that way is really essential to fulfilling our purpose on this earth. When we wake up in the morning and look in the mirror, what do I see? Well, hair everywhere, growing wrinkles, all those imperfections. If those are the things that are standing out that I'm not seeing clearly, though that is real, I also need to see I am a son of the Most High God. That's St. Matthew right there looking in the mirror. The one that Jesus loves. The one that he's paid for. And that character right there with the messed up hair is a carrier of the kingdom of heaven today, wherever he goes. He's a carrier of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is within me. You can say those things. Sometimes it's good to repeat those things to yourself in the mirror, to remind yourself of who you are so that when you go, you have something to give. Most people don't feel like they have anything to give. And that's the lie from the enemy. You have everything to give because you have the Spirit of God on the inside of you. You have the kingdom of heaven that's in you, around you, close at hand. Just as gravity's there all the time, you're a saint all the time. You are one that the Lord loves all the time. That never changes. Okay. You know, the Christian life is not about becoming a better person or an improved model of you, like version 2.0 of whatever your name is. That's not what this is about. It's not about becoming a great library of theology and good information. That's not what a Christian is either. The Christian life is about being wide open, full of joy, knowing who we are as a child of God because of what he's done, trusting in him and letting him transform us into a new creature. Not version 2.0, a new version entirely. Someone that I have never been, not an improved version, but someone that's never existed before. That's what happened to every single one of us when we gave our life to Jesus, allowed his spirit to come inside of us. He transforms us into a new creature, the Bible says, Bible terminology. We become a new creature in Christ. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Brand new things on the inside of us. And so through this, we get to seek after the kingdom. We get to receive the kingdom, but we also get to demonstrate it, proclaim it, and pray it. Since Jesus said these things a couple thousand years ago, most of humanity has not done those things. Most of humanity has created a lot of isms to pursue instead, from materialism of every kind to all different kinds of, oh my goodness, there are, you know, Nazism and socialism and communism and all the isms and everything that people have spent time creating and splitting hairs on things and dividing and breaking off from one group because I believe slightly differently than they do, and so we've created all these other things rather than doing the thing that Jesus asked us to do, is to seek and pursue his kingdom and to give it away. And he's looking for a people. He's looking for us. He's looking for me to do the things that he asked us to do, to share the gospel of his kingdom, to love my neighbor as myself, to love the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, body, to pursue him, and to folk really to major on majors, not major on minors. A lot of religion is majoring on minor things. And the Spirit of God wants us to major on the majors, on what Jesus has given to us, the things that are essential, his kingdom. So we get to seek the kingdom. Above everything else, as we read, Matthew 6:33, we get to receive the kingdom, as Daniel 7:18 said. So we seeking it, we receive it freely. Daniel 7:18, as well as John 1:12. And then we get to demonstrate and proclaim the kingdom. Remember, he sent the 12 out to share the gospel of the kingdom, kick out demons, raise the dead, heal the sick. And then he said, "Ah, let's do 70 more. And he sent out 70 more doing the same thing. Preach the gospel of the kingdom. Heal the sick, raise the dead, share great news. But he says for all of us, Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, that this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. So this is not just for the apostles to do or the 70 followers to do. It is for all of us, every single one of us. If we were born during this time, and if you're here, you have been, and you've been born again, and if you're here, you probably have been. And if you haven't been born again yet, we can fix that today. But if you're here, then you have a purpose, a great purpose of not only enjoying the kingdom of heaven, but sharing it, giving it away. The end doesn't come until we do, until we share this gospel of the kingdom throughout the whole earth in various ways. People seeing our lives, people hearing from us, our words, people feeling the love from us. So many different ways that this gospel of the kingdom or the kingdom is shared. But we are to demonstrate it, to live it out, and to proclaim it, to speak it out. I've heard and read, actually, that I think one of the greatest fears in the world, more than fear of death, is fear of public speaking. Did you realize that? More than fear of death, think about this for a moment, is fear of public speaking. That's crazy. And I used to have some of that, to be honest. The first time I spoke, it was horrible. I've improved some, but it was really bad in the beginning. It was really bad. I was shaking. There were different colors throughout my face. I was doing weird things with my lips and teeth. And there was all kind of crazy things going on. I was afraid of public speaking. But you know what? Part of our calling, part of my calling, was to do the very thing I was afraid of. To overcome that fear was part of my calling, and I didn't want it, I didn't like it. But this is what God had for me to do, was to go beyond what I was afraid of, to pass through the fear. See, a lot of times what happens is God has this calling and plan for your life, and sometimes the enemy knows about it more than you do. And so the way he tries to keep you from it is he brings a fear of that thing between you and your purpose to see if you'll back up and not do it. That's just how the enemy works. He uses fear. And so if you have a calling to go to a certain place or to share the gospel, I'm telling you what will happen. There will be a fear of that very thing, of going there, of trying that, of doing it. There'll be fear of failure. There'll be fear of being made fun of. There'll be fear of, I won't be good at it. It's just going to be horrible. I'm going to be an embarrassment to other people. I'm going to be an embarrassment to God, all those things. And that's what the enemy does. But part of what we are to do is what David did when Goliath, who was full of bringing fear, got in front of him. David said, who in the world is going to stand between God's people and victory? This guy? This guy? Are you kidding me? It says he ran toward Goliath, guy twice his size, maybe three times, maybe four. He was huge. He ran at him in faith in God, not his own ability. I remember that was a shift in my mind when I started to be able to speak better up front, when I stopped focusing on what I could do and asking God what he could do through me. Changed the focus. And things got a little better for me in that. But part of what all of us are to do is to share the gospel of the kingdom. Maybe the thing that might feel terrifying on the inside to do. But it's part of our purpose. To demonstrate it, to share it, to give it away, trusting in him that he will do it as I step out. If I step out, if I ask questions, if I share love with someone, I'm trusting that God's going to do something. The Bible, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, you lift me up, I'll draw people to myself. I'll draw people to myself if you lift me up. Sharing the gospel of the kingdom is lifting Jesus up. And then the Spirit of God draws people to him as we do it. And then we get to pray the kingdom as Jesus taught them how to pray in Matthew 6. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we seek the kingdom, we receive it, we demonstrate it, we proclaim it, we share it, we also pray it. And I think we also live in it. We just live in it in joy. We're supposed to enjoy the kingdom. Enjoy the kingdom. Enjoy peace. Peace is underrated. Peace is awesome. Amen. And it comes from Jesus. He's the prince of it, and it's part of the kingdom. We can enjoy peace. We can enjoy joy and righteousness. Isn't that something? We can enjoy the righteousness of Jesus. It's not mine. I can't earn it, but I can enjoy what he's given me. I'm enjoying being clean and washed and pure and holy before God. And I can enter boldly before the throne room of God, not on my righteousness, but I'm looking at what Jesus did for me. And now I can go in. He opened the door, said, go on in. And he clothed us with his righteousness. So beautiful, amazing. So the kingdom is to be our pursuit. When I'm in public or in private, I want the kingdom of heaven to be pursued, thought about, as Jesus invited me to do. Let's ask people. You ever ask someone, sit next to them while you're waiting for your car to get fixed? Have you discovered the kingdom yet? They're gonna have no clue what you're talking about. Could be a great opportunity for a conversation. The kingdom being the very thing that you've been seeking for your whole life and you didn't know it. You can ask someone, have you run into or discovered the kingdom yet? And then you can explain what that means, because they're going to probably say no. I don't know what you're talking about. Or ask someone, have you found what you're looking for in life yet? Jesus said, the things you're looking for in life, you find, or they're given to you if you seek his kingdom. Here's what his kingdom is. Amazing ways we can engage people in conversation, sharing the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel isn't just that you're a sinner bound for hell and there's a savior. That's a part of it. But it's so full of so many different things that we're to share. Jesus paid it all. Gave all, purchased us by his blood. We've been transferred, it says in Colossians, transferred from the kingdom of darkness or the domain of darkness to the kingdom or the domain of Jesus. You were transferred when you met Jesus. You shifted locations. You didn't even feel it probably necessarily of going from one location to the next. Maybe you did. But you were transferred from one place to another. The kingdom of light. And we now are carriers to give this away. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for all you have done for bringing with you the kingdom that you are in charge of, king of, and thank you for freely giving it to every single one of us. Lord, I ask that you would help our minds to be transformed to think the way that you think related to the kingdom. Lord, I pray there would be a homing device on the inside of us that would be seeking after your kingdom. Put it on the inside of us, Lord, that we would desire, seek after, discover, give away your kingdom. Lord, I ask that you'd begin to change our language even to change our language as this gospel of the kingdom that has to be spread across the whole world before you come. May we be those who are carriers, talking about it, proclaimers of it, seekers of it, prayers of it. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Fill us with your spirit all over again, brand new and afresh. Cause our hearts to pound and to beat faster as we think about your kingdom, as we hear someone discussing, someone getting healed, you touching someone, someone having been delivered, someone receiving peace, a freedom from addiction. Lord, I pray that we would get a big smile on our face as we think about your kingdom and we get to demonstrate, bring and give away your kingdom freely. Thank you, Father, that you are so happy and glad to give us the kingdom. Thank you, Father. Lord, I bless everyone here, every person, every family, all of these saints. I bless all of these saints. Fill us with your power, your spirit, your joy, your kingdom. And may we, as we go out from here into the world, Lord, would you give us opportunities? Would you give us opportunities to love people? Give us opportunities to share the gospel of the kingdom? Would you give us opportunities to pray for the sick, to pray for the afflicted, to pray for those who are mourning, who are hurting? Lord, give us opportunities to make a difference and not just be isolated. Keep us all from isolation and keep us in right smack dab in the middle of your purpose and your will, your plan. Thank you, God, that we get to live in this country and in this world for this, such a time as this, such a moment as this. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.